On the board here is I'm going to be demonstrating for you from the scriptures about short-term mission trips that are talked about in the scriptures. For instance, in Acts chapter 18, verse 23, it says, after he had spent some time there, and there is the city of Antioch. Antioch was the third largest city in the ancient world after Rome. And he departed and went over the region of Galatia. I don't know how many of you know about Galatia, but if you have Irish or Welsh background, well, these people are your ancestors. Galatia, they were the Celts. And Phrygia, in order. And what that means in order is that he did it systematically. In other words, the ministry that he did wasn't haphazard. He did it in order. And then the very important statement, strengthening all the disciples. So you might say, well, why do we do mission trips? We don't go on mission trips so we can go on vacation. That's not why you go on mission trips. We go on mission trips so that we can share the gospel and strengthen the saints that are there. You're going to see this consistently in the scriptures. So he says, strengthening all the disciples. Now we'll go to the next one. In Acts chapter 14, verse 21, it says, and when they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. You see that again, that phrase? Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom of God. It's not abnormal for the kingdom to be costly. It's normal for the kingdom to be costly. And that's what Paul says in this passage. We must, through many tribulations, enter into the kingdom of God. And then there's another passage in the book of Acts also. And it goes on in chapter 15, verse 32. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, in other words, they were preachers. A prophet is a person who puts forth the word of God. Sometimes prophets, like in the Old Testament, could tell things that are going to happen in the future because it was revealed to them by God. But almost always when you see the word prophet, it means a messenger of God, a preacher. And so now Judas, who was a preacher, and Silas, who was a preacher, themselves being prophets also, exhorted, and what did they do? Strengthen the brethren with many words. You see a consistency there? In all these that I've read to you so far, at different points, when the Apostle Paul was doing missionary work at different places, it consistently says, not only was he obeying sharing the gospel, but the effect was strengthening the brethren in each case. Now let's go to Acts chapter 15, verse 40, another passage at another time where they're doing short-term mission work. Paul chose Silas and departed, and being commended by the brethren to the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia doing what? Strengthening the churches. So why do we do short-term mission trips? Well, we want to help spread the gospel, of course. We definitely want to do that. But you have to understand that very consistently in the scripture it says the reason that you go out and the reason that you support is so you strengthen the disciples who are there already. Now, for Beulah Church, our church, our intention in the future is to do mission trips. And we can do mission trips near and we can do mission trips far. But when we do it, it's always to advance the gospel and it's always for the effect of strengthening the people who work there. We do missions for that reason. Now, our Beulah family grows in faith and hope and love as we get outside of ourselves. I don't know if you've noticed that churches that are dying, they don't do that kind of thing. Churches that are dying are looking at themselves and they're figuring out, well, who can we get to serve us? Can we hire another pastor? Maybe he'll work harder and serve us more. And that is not the attitude of a growing church. A growing church says, what can we do to spend ourselves for the purpose of the gospel and to encourage the saints, the disciples who are out there? And many times this is worldwide saints. Every time we exit this building, every one of us has the opportunity to practice missions. When you leave this room, you have the opportunity to practice missions. Because the scripture is very clear in giving us the Great Commission. I'm going to read it to you again. I'm sure you know it. But Jesus was talking to every one of us when he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That word nations mean people groups. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. We may be close to the end of the age, but he's talking to us too. Same people. And that's in Matthew chapter 28 with the Great Commission. Some mission work is geographically near to us, and some is geographically far from us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus gave these words to his disciples that he had been training for 3 years. He said this to them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in your hometown, Jerusalem, and in all Judea, which is kind of like your region, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus told us what to do in the world, and he told us how to do it in the world. He trained the disciples, he showed them what to do, he gave them clear instructions, and he sent them out. Even before this, he had sent them out to practice and to come back and report so that he could train them further. But very consistently, Jesus did this same thing. First, he said, share the gospel where you live, in your hometown, Jerusalem. Then go to Judea. Judea was a region in which Jerusalem abode. And then he said, then go to all the world. And that's what we've been practicing this last week with the mission team. The Apostle Paul went, along with many other disciples. And if you read the book of Acts, it wasn't just the Apostle Paul. It was many people went with him. And they all did short-term mission trips. There were times that Paul went for several months. And then there were trips that were shorter. Three are recorded in Luke's second book, in the book of Acts, because it's written by Luke. Now, the intention of short-term mission trips is to participate in the command of Jesus to go and make disciples near and far. And the effect of obeying Jesus in this, in these places, near and far, is that the disciples who live in those places will have their hands held up by us. You remember the story of Moses. There was a battle that was going on, and God told Moses, he said, Moses, lift up your hands, and as long as you have your hands lifted toward heaven, your people are going to win the battle. And the battle is going on, the battle's going on, and the Israelites were winning. But in a while, Moses' arms got tired. You can only hold your arms up so long, you know. And his arms got tired, and his arms started going down. What happened when his arms started going down? Yeah, the enemy started winning the battle. And he tried harder to hold his arms up, but he just couldn't do it very long. So what was the solution to the problem? People ran alongside him and held up his arms for him. And that's what short-term missions accomplishes. People like Todd and Christy and many other missionaries who are on the mission field, when we go there, it's a shot of spiritual adrenaline for them. It's an encouragement to them. And these children, these Muslim children that we were with this past week, they were very excited to see us. the first day, they weren't sure what to think of us. And we didn't know what to think of us either. But over the period of time, our people loved them and smiled and told them that they loved them. Let me tell you, that's not what they are taught in the mosque. They are not taught that Christians love them. They are taught that Christians are dirty and filthy people, and that they hate them and want to kill them. And they hear this consistently. Well, because we went to a neighborhood where refugees were residing, it's very important to these parents for their children to succeed to learn the English language. And that gave us the opportunity to go in using English and teaching them songs in English that they heard us talking about Jesus and the stories about Jesus. But just as importantly, they saw us acting in love, because that's not what they're told that Christians do. They saw us acting in love. And they were having fun, and Christians aren't so bad. And by the time the week was over, well, I don't think those kids will ever be able to get away from the idea, when they hear this hateful message about Christians, that that's going to be incongruent to them. They're going to say, no, that's not the experience I had with Christians. And that is what you call pre-evangelism. We went in and broke down that relationship barrier and had fellowship with them. And so as Todd and Christy go on and share the gospel as is appropriate in that culture, we have laid the foundation. And we have made the way easier. And by doing that, we held up Todd and Christy's hands. And we strengthened our brothers and sisters. So it says, as I just read to you, after he had spent, that is Paul, had spent some time in Antioch, he departed and went over to the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order to strengthen those disciples there. Now, God had been doing a mighty work. You know that on the day of Pentecost, that all the Jews had gathered together who had been considering Jesus to be who he said he was. And they became convinced that he was who he said he was. And in one day, 3,000 people, Jews, accepted Jesus Christ. And because of persecution that came from Rome, those 3,000 people scattered all over the region and to other countries. And those are the people that Paul's going to see. They are Christians, but they need to be strengthened in their faith, especially the leaders, those who are sharing the gospel. So the reason that we go near, like outside the walls, to conduct Vacation Bible School, and that's what we'll do tonight. We're going to leave this room, we're going to go outside, and we're going to invite the community to be with us. That's sharing the gospel near. That's doing mission work near. And we will be doing that. And the reason that we go far, like going to Italy, is to tell Jesus' gospel story far away. And while we are doing these things, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If you read the book of Romans, the key verse to the book of Romans is what I just quoted to you. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Romans 1:16. The people who went on our 9-person mission team from Beulah, they're people who went out and boldly talked about Jesus, who he is, appropriately in that culture. Now, as we practice love for God this way, the effect is that the disciples who are there, they get stronger and stronger in their faith, and they say, we can do this. We can do this. We see how it can be done. And so we do it together, and we pray together and encourage one another. So last week, our mission team did just what I've been talking about. We went in prayer, we gave encouragement, and we supported their work. And the beautiful thing about you who stayed here is because you supported, you were a part of that work. And that's very important. Now, they were strengthened. They received several things from us while we were there. But did we benefit too? Oh, yes. Yes, we benefited, I would say, all the more. Our sacrifices that we made to go to Italy, and indeed it was sacrifice, made Jesus' church stronger in the city of Rome. I want to read again from Acts chapter 14 to reinforce this very idea. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the churches and the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter into the kingdom of God." In the future, we'll be doing, if God gives us grace and opportunity, we'll be doing more of these kind of things, and I hope you consider going. But you need to count the cost before you go. Because it says in this passage that I just read to you that we enter into the kingdom of God under much tribulation doing this mission work. When we go out, whether it's near or far, telling Jesus good news, the impact on those to whom we go is that they grow stronger in their faith and they grow stronger in their love. But going, you have to understand, is very costly. Doing Jesus' work outside these walls is expensive. We are willing to spend what it takes. Because that's what Jesus told us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We start here and we go out in concentric waves further and further out. Now, those who send missionaries, short-term missionaries, and those who go do it at great personal cost. The Italy mission team that went to Rome went with your blessing and your support. And for that, we are very grateful. The Beulah family gave to that mission $1,300. And those who went on the 9-person team dug into their pockets and added to that so that we could give them over $2,000. Now, that $2,000 is very important because intern missionaries survive on that kind of money. They come in and they work with them, and they're being trained to be missionaries, but they have to eat too. And that's where that money goes. And so we dug in and we helped out, and that money is used to strengthen the disciples and the disciple makers for the gospel to go out. When we went to Rome to the Todd and Christie's work called The Hub, and the reason it's called The Hub is the strategy is to establish disciples there, make them strong enough so that they can carry on their own work independently and then go to another place and do the same thing over again. And that's the strategy. Well, that's exactly what Paul did. If you read the book of Acts, he went to one place, he made disciples, he went back and visited them to make them stronger so that they could make disciples and it would have a ripple effect and go on and on and on. There were missionaries in Rome who we visited in this same mission from France and Bangladesh. And those are young missionaries who are learning to be missionaries and disciple makers, and they work alongside Todd and Christy. And our giving helped those people. It strengthened those disciples and held up their hands so they can continue on. The two people that we worked with was Morgan, or in English you would call her Morgan. She's a French girl. And the other one was Monsoom, who is Bangladeshi, who came to Christ when a friend witnessed to him, and he accepted Christ. The day his family found out that he accepted Christ, they never talked to him again. They cast him out. And so he ended up in this mission place, and he has a great testimony, powerful testimony for Christ. But by our visit there, he was strengthened. And that's the way it works. Paul said doing this sort of thing strengthens the souls of the disciples. And that is the effect when you go in the future, because I'm inviting you to join me and these kind of things. To those who went, they gladly paid a great price. Well, what did they pay a price? They paid time. People who went, it cost them a lot of time. We met many times in preparation to go on this trip, training and getting ready to go. And the actual going itself costs time. And everybody is given the gift of time by God, but not everybody spends their time that way. And God may not lead you to do that. God may lead you to support other people who can afford the time or want to spend the time. But we not only have time, we have talent and treasure. And our people who went there demonstrated their talent. We had great teachers and people who exercised their gifts in different ways. You saw a picture of Dave McComas doing electrical work there. Some of the work in that mission house, electrical work, was hazardous because people who aren't electricians who do electrical work, it's not always pretty and it's not always safe. And but Dave, that was his talent. He gave that talent to them. He didn't charge them for it. He gave it to them. And we gave our treasure. We spent our own money. That's how we went. And those of you who do mission here in Vacation Bible School this week will do so at a cost. If you come tonight and if you've been preparing and you come every night and you expend yourself next Sunday morning in the program, that's cost you time. And you could be using your time to do something else. But you're spending your time for God in the lives of other people to help them to grow in the faith. And you have talent. And the people who are going to be here tonight, I'm always amazed at Vacation Bible School, how people pull together and do their stuff. It's amazing. They girls sang about their stuff a while ago. And they do their stuff. And many people who are helping with Bible school and investing in Bible school are strengthening little disciples. Now, we don't often think of children as disciples, but children are disciples. Once you become a newborn Christian, you begin learning. And that learning person is called a disciple. And you're strengthening disciples when you do that. And so you're giving your time, your talent, and your treasure. And I witnessed many people already in preparation who said, I'll buy that, I'll do that, I'll donate that, I'll do this. They donate their time, their talent, and their treasure. And they're investing in the kingdom of God. Well, that's what Paul said. He said, continuing in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. It's not costless. It costs something to serve the Lord. Now, we see this in our church all the time, and we continue to grow in this because we are very intentionally reaching out to young families in our community. And God's gifts to us, as He gives to us time, talent, and treasure, we sacrifice that back to Him as an expression of our love for Him. Now, Tom and Angel, who are here this morning, Angel read the scripture this morning. They're about to spend themselves and their resources to do mission in our community from this base in a scouting program. And they are doing that for the purpose of making disciples, taking young women and young boys, men, and making boys godly men and making girls godly women. And that's our intention. Well, somebody has to pay to make that happen. And those two people stepped up and said, we'll give our time, we'll give our talent, we'll give our treasure, and we'll do that ministry. So I want you to understand that missions is not just going overseas. Missions is done right here. And this scouting program will be done inside the walls and outside the walls, but they're reaching into the community to find young people that they can lead to the Lord, and it will cost them much. So be praying for Tom and Angel, because I don't want them to be discouraged. It's hard work. Paul said, there's much tribulation as we march toward the kingdom of God, making disciples. The mission work that we visited has, as a component of its work, a mission house. And in that mission house, that is where new converts are sometimes housed if they're rejected by their family. Because if you're a Muslim and you accept Christ, you're not going to have a place to live anymore. And that is the intention, that we lead people to Christ and make disciples. But also, this Bangladeshi and this French girl, they had accepted Christ, become disciples, and now they want to be missionaries, and so they are housed in this place called the Mission House. Our team, thanks to Dave McComas and our other guys who went, repaired windows and repaired electrical problems, and we did things, and those things encouraged them. Now, the first time I saw Monsoon, he was showing me his legs. Now, he's brown-skinned because he's Muslim. Showed me, but he had marks, little dots all over his legs. I said, "What is that, Monsoon?" He said, "Mosquitoes." And because he slept in the mission house that had no screens. And there's no air conditioning either. So you either, which do you want, air or mosquitoes? I mean, you have to choose. And after a while, when you're roasting, you choose the mosquitoes. And then you close the window and you roast some more. So our job was to go rectify that problem. By doing that, that simple thing, and we worked hard out in the heat, it cost us something. We lifted up their hands. And Monsoon was so happy because he said, "No more mosquitoes." He was very happy about that. And they're voracious and voluminous, as we witnessed there. Now, the Mission House is in Rome, and it's over 100 degrees in July and August. And so it's very necessary to get this work done. So I say to the guys who went, "Good job, team. You got it done." Our mission team used the opportunity to teach English through songs and Bible games and by sharing love and hugs. Those Muslim people saw with their own eyes the story of Jesus' love, and they experienced it. And those mothers, I think, walked away scratching their heads saying, "How is it that our Imam says this, but these people show us this?" We want them to have that contradiction so that they'll consider the claims of Jesus and come to the Lord. Now, as we work near here this week in Vacation Bible School, many of you will pay for that. And I thank you for giving your time and your talent and your treasure. Now, I want to assure you that you're going to hear about it again. Because when you stand before Jesus Christ at the Bema Seat, where the rewards are handed out, Jesus promised that he would not forget one thing that you do. Not one. He will not forget. He said, "Even if you give as much as a cup of cold water in my name, I will give back to you 100-fold. So you're making a great investment. And you're going to hear Jesus say, "Well done in that." Now, because Jesus has been very clear about the Great Commission, what we're supposed to be doing, then we can be very bold in our evangelism, like Paul in the opening verses of the book of Romans. And we can say, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ either. We're not ashamed to use Jesus' name. And we will use Jesus' name, and we'll tell the story about him. Let me show you about this costliness from the book of Philippians as I come to the end here. Listen to Philippians chapter 3. Paul said this, "Whatever gain I had, I counted it as a loss for Christ's sake. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things." Paul gave away everything he had. He gave away his status, the advantage of his education, his place in the community, no doubt his family because he was Jewish. His cost was great. But he goes on to say, "For Jesus' sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. But here's my attitude. I count that as rubbish." Now, many people say those things in the world, they're very important. I want to hold on to them. I want to keep them. I want to gather to myself. But Paul said, that stuff doesn't matter. It's not going to last very long. In order that I may gain Christ and his fellowship and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And if you will obey Jesus, if your faith is strong and your love is strong, you will see great fruit in your lifetime. He ends that by saying, and the power of his resurrection may share in his sufferings and become like Jesus in his death. In other words, we die to this world. We die to this old life and we live for Christ. Well, that's what short-term mission's about. Whether you're doing it on this property, outside this door, but for sure it's outside these walls. If you're growing in Christ at Beulah, you're coming to realize that you don't come here just to be ministered to. You come here to minister because that's what we teach, because that's what Jesus said to do. When you do Great Commission work by getting outside the walls and outside yourself, you strengthen the disciples and you bring unbelievers to Christ. And in this, Jesus is glorified. And when you stand before him at the judgment seat, and I'm talking about the judgment seat where your sins will not be reviewed, because that was taken care of at the cross. I'm talking about the judgment seat where Jesus looks over the bench and he says, thank you, well done, good and faithful servant. You will only hear positive from the Lord when you have spent your life, your time, your talent, your treasure for Jesus Christ. Now, it's not all going to be pleasant because we're going to realize what we gave up when we didn't trust the Lord and we didn't obey the Lord. But there's going to be great reward, and you will not lose your reward. Jesus said that. You will not lose your reward for anything you do. Now, I put that in context of short-term missions, and I hope you do that also. Susan Dunphy makes Jesus look good when she invests her spiritual gift of leadership, which strengthens others in their work in this near mission here, which is going to happen this week. And bubbly Cindy Whitley exercises her gift of encouragement to excite the mission work here this week in Vacation Bible School. What we must realize about this is that every person has a gift that was given to you by the Holy Spirit. And if you use that gift, the whole body will be strengthened. You see, that's the whole point. When we exercise our gifts, when we spend ourselves for the Lord, the body is strengthened, whether it is here or far away. Our gift use makes Jesus' church stronger. Now, yesterday I was recruiting in my own neighborhood, and I saw the kids out front playing who live across the street from us. So I went out on the stoop, and the mother was out there, and I said, hey, Heather, you know what's happening tomorrow? She said, what? I said, Vacation Bible School, bring the kids. She said, okay. They played soccer. Now, this is the way we strengthen. You know, have you been to your neighbor's house yet? Have you yelled across the fence and say, Vacation Bible School's tonight, and bring them in? Because it really makes a big difference what we're doing. Spend yourself doing it, and you will be rewarded by Jesus himself. Now, I want to close with a challenge. And my challenge is this: will you help with Vacation Bible School this week? If you do it, it will make disciples here their work easier, and you'll strengthen them. Because when one person does a job by themselves, that's hard. When three people do it together, what's the effect? Yeah, the Bible says, doesn't it? Yeah. When you bind sticks together, you can't break them. It makes them stronger. And you will increase your own rewards in the Lord. So I'm asking you, what will you do? Will you pray? Maybe you don't have time. Maybe you have to work. Maybe you can't be here. But will you pray consistently, fervently for what's going on here? Will you call your relatives and their kids and encourage them to come and tell them about what's going to happen here? Already a lot of work has happened, as you can see, and much more is going to happen. Or maybe you'll come by yourself and you'll just help join in and say, how can I help you? We'll find something for you to do. You will not waste your time. We are doing Vacation Bible School to express the gospel of Jesus and to make disciples stronger. And I hope you will help us lift up and make us stronger as a church family. So I exhort you, my friends, get outside your walls. Don't cave in to the temptation to protect your time or your talent or your treasure, but spend it to a lost world, and we will all be stronger because of it. So that's my challenge to you this morning. Will you do that? Some of you can pray because that's all you can do. Some of you can spend because you can easily afford it. And if you spend because you can't afford it, great is your reward in heaven. So I hope that you come and that you help, because this is going to be a very important week. During soccer season, we shared the gospel at halftime. I wore this garb, and every week we shared a little bit of the gospel, a little bit more of the gospel. And by the last week, all the kids were down on their knees, as they do in soccer halftime, and I led them in prayer. I don't know how many of them prayed this for the first time, but their parents are all around, and about 40 kids prayed to receive Christ. I don't know how many of those were first time. I don't know the quality of that. I don't know. But their parents were there, and that's their responsibility. But we're doing our job. And I want you to do your job. I want you to be like Krissa. Krissa stepped up, and she administrates soccer. I don't know if she knew that she had the gift that she has. It's an amazing gift, an administrative gift. You know where your gifts come from? The Holy Spirit. And if you will spend yourself, you might accidentally stumble on the fact that you have amazing spiritual gifts from the Lord that produces fruit. And that's how the church works. So I want to encourage you, be involved. Pray, come, spend, and do your best. Because it's just through Wednesday. It's not very long. And you can do that. Will you do it? I hope you'll help. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for the trip that we just went on, and thank you for the privilege that we had to pay a costly price, but we only spent what you gave us, Lord. I mean, we often think that we do something extraordinary. The fact is that everything we have came from you. All gifts and perfect gifts come from you. So thank you, Lord, that you gave us the opportunity to sweat, to love, to pray, to hug, to smile, to be with, to encourage, to hold up hands, to tell others that we love them, because all these are directed by you. So Lord, help us all to be able to do these things that are within our grasp to do. In the Lord Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing Jesus Loves Me, and we'll go home. But I don't want you to go home if you can stay and help us. We need some help. Sing this like a child to the Lord. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yeah. Again, if you can stay and help Susan, just hang around. around the foyer, she'll plug you in with something to do. God bless you. You're dismissed.